WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. The markets hate messiness, and today's confusion on tariffs saw stocks drop across the board. AI and tech stocks, the biggest losers. The NASDAQ fell 2.6%, the S&P not far behind. President Trump pulled back on Mexican and Canadian tariffs for 1 month at least. Companies call it chaos. Consumers call it confidence shaking, wondering when to buy cars, even produce. What does the president say?
Nothing to do with the market. I'm not even looking at the market because long term, the United States will be very strong with what's happening here.
A federal judge denying the request from USAID contractors to block the mass termination of their contracts, says the State Department.
It doesn't mean that we're not going to be doing foreign aid. It's a matter of how are we going to be doing the aid, and if it is effective, and if it is efficient, and if it achieves the goals that we want that make America safe, more prosperous.
Spokesperson Tammy Bruce. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for input from residents on proposed duck hunting season zones and split options. According to a press release, the duck hunting season structure can be reviewed and changed every 5 years under the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The DNR is considering public input for 2026 through 2031. Feedback can be submitted online or by mail and must be submitted by March 30th. The DNR will also host a number of public hearings on the proposal over the next few weeks. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is proposing a broad incidental take permit for rare fish during planned statewide transportation projects. According to a press release, the permit would allow those projects to go forward with plans to minimize any impact on conservation efforts. DNR officials also say normal spawning timing restrictions would still apply if crews come across a suitable habitat occupied by one of those rare fish species. The agency will accept public comments on the incidental take permit until April 4th. The Lake Superior Zoo will be taking in some new animals following the closure of a Twin Cities aquarium and zoo. SeaQuest in Roseville is looking to relocate over 800 animals after filing for bankruptcy amid animal welfare complaints last year. Lake Superior Zoo officials say they don't know exactly which animals will be transferred to them, but are excited about the opportunity to help them as best they can. Officials also say the new animal additions could create a financial hiccup for them and are asking the community for donations to help. The Polk County Democrats Steering Committee says they will no longer allow local media to cover all of their meetings. According to an email sent to local journalists, committee officials say the move will allow individuals to more freely share their ideas and concerns, as well as allowing committee members to better respond to the rapidly evolving political climate with strategic focus. They also say the committee will release meeting summaries to local media for transparency and invite them to specific events that warrant their presence. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks down the Mavericks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks cruised to another win at home, 137-107, past the Dallas Mavericks team missing seven other players. How did the Bucks handle themselves? Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I thought we played the right way overall. Aggressive, moved the ball, defended. They have so many guys out. You know, tough for them. Like, that's how I kept thinking that. Like, yeah, you got Klay Thompson over there, and so it's just a tough spot.
College hoops, the Badgers with a win in Minnesota, 74-67. John Blackwell led with 25 points and a career high 11 rebounds. Marquette losing at UConn, 72-66. The game delayed for 22 minutes at the start.
I said it was a leak in the roof and it was leaking on the baseline. You know, they talked about canceling the game if it didn't get addressed. So, you know, I told Danny we'd go across the street to the practice gym if we had to, but I'm glad we could play the game here.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, lows 5 to 10 above. Clouds tomorrow morning, then turning mostly sunny for the afternoon and highs in the mid-30s. Even warmer temperatures for the weekend and into next week, highs climbing through the 40s, even some 50s. Right now it's 33.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, making the popcorn pick of the week will be Civic Media's own Todd Alba. And then Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter Paul Hanna joins me in the studio. I'm telling you, don't miss this.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. You can also be a big part of this production, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board and the tunes and the phones. And jazzed as hell, our pal Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting 8 to 10 a.m., that early shift, Monday through Friday. Earl, welcome back, man. Good to see you.
Hey man, it's good to be back. It really is, man. Miss hanging out with you, but
well,
I'm back.
This is like the only time we get to hang out, man. I got to get you on the radio to get some Earl time. But I do appreciate it, man. We got a lot to get to today. I know one of the conversations that you had on your fine show this morning, the VA slicing like 80,000 jobs. We're going to get to that, what that impact could be right here in the state of Wisconsin. Also right here in the state of Wisconsin, the tariffs. Lots of concerns from Republicans, maybe not much action. We'll go there as well. Now with Trump on the tariffs, so bouncing back and forth. Apparently he's rescinded or delayed some tariffs. It's so hard to think that he's not making money on the market, but we'll go there as well. And as well, the GOP, they're an effort afoot at the GOP to pass a spending bill, you know, keep it going. Got to keep the government open, Earl. Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader in the House, has said that the GOP, they're on their own to pass a clean spending bill. And I got to tell you, Earl, if they have the mandate, I guess they got to put on their big boy mandate pants and pass a bill. We'll see if that can happen. But let's start, Earl, if we may. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, our buddy, says he has a lot of concerns over the Trump tariffs and the impacts on Wisconsin. Lawrence Andrew reporting. Here's what Ron Johnson said, the senator from Wisconsin. Obviously, Earl, we're a manufacturing state. I'd be concerned about retaliation against those manufacturers. I'm concerned about them losing overseas markets. I'm concerned about the cost to builders. I'm concerned about retaliation against our farmers. There are a lot of concerns. Now, Johnson's comments came as Trump on Tuesday ordered 25% tariffs on goods from Canada and Mexico, the two U.S. largest trading partners. At the same time, tariffs on some Chinese goods doubled from 10 to 20%. Now, as mentioned today, some of those have been rescinded or delayed. We have some quotes here also from some other Republicans, Scott Fitzgerald. He said that the tariff negotiations will ultimately benefit American citizens, workers, and businesses. For too long, says Rep. Scott Fitzgerald, what we thought was free trade under NAFTA, which of course was what renegotiated USMCA, Earl, under Trump, and now he's what, peeing all over that negotiation, that NAFTA became an erosion of American jobs in Canada and Mexico. Our manufacturing base simply disappeared. That's not acceptable. well, I mean, then maybe the Republicans shouldn't have voted for it. We have other comments on there from Republicans as well. But what I'm seeing here, Earl, is lots of talk, lots of concerns about what these tariffs will do to Wisconsin businesses and families and farmers and so forth. Lots of concerns. But what's he doing about it, Earl? I don't see any action from the Republicans other than the sycophant support of Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
Well, you know, Dominic, it's not that it wasn't predicted and projected by, guys on both the Democratic and Republican side, economists, who projected well ahead of time what tariffs were going to wrought if you did it. So if Ron Johnson and them felt that way, why didn't they convince their guy before he did it? I mean, just to give you an idea of just how insane and crazy this whole thing is, Dominic, Donald Trump told the big three automakers, you got 30 days to move everything back to America.
30 days. So, I mean, it's like you got to be out of town by sundown, by noon, you know what I mean? I mean, there's no way, man. Come on, it takes years to set up these factories and this infrastructure. Come on.
You know, man, he said 30 days. So I know, you know, I spent 34 years in the automotive manufacturing sector. 34 years. When they decided to move the factory that I worked in for 34 years down to Mexico, it took over 2 years. I mean, come on, man. And now here's the other aspect of it. What most people don't know is, Dominic, in my day, we made the frames for automobiles, but the automobiles were made on the shores of the United States. Today, those automobiles pass back and forth across the borders because they're not made all in one country. So, you know, part of it, maybe the chassis is made in America, but the engines are put in the automobile in Mexico.
Right.
So they have to send an incomplete car back and forth across the border. I mean, didn't somebody tell him that? So when he's talking about tariffs, how do you do it? The cars are made both in America and in Mexico. You know, I mean, they cross the border two or three times before the automobile is completely put together.
Now, that's a great point, Earl. If the chassis, for example, something is here, goes over to Mexico, gets some additional parts put onto it, comes in, is it marked up 25%, goes back again to get some other things put on it, comes in marked up 25%? I mean, no, it is. It's a great point. And given the fact that we've seen the markets, again, they're not happy. They're not happy with this chaos, this confusion. What I've always learned from the business schools and industry, we're like predictability. You know, we gotta be able to make decisions based on knowing what's at least a good sense of what's going to come in the future. Well, we can't even do that month to month here. I mean, Donald Trump is threatening 25% tariffs, and then the next day I'll pull him back, and then maybe a week later he'll change his mind again. That is not a great environment to make business decisions. Hell, that's not a great environment to make any decisions. Congressman Tom Tiffany, also from Wisconsin, suggested Trump is selectively using the tariffs as a negotiating tactic. I've heard this many times. He said that the cost of past trade deals have been too high for too many American workers for too long. Well, perhaps, Tom Tiffany, but didn't the Republicans support that? Didn't Donald Trump himself renegotiate NAFTA to USMCA? You know what I mean? He's going against his own negotiations now. Where was all this support and thought and concern the last time around, Earl?
You know, Dominic, the real, and this really is frightening, because Donald Trump and Elon Musk are saying to the American people, suck it up. These are billionaires, man. Suck it up. You may hurt a little bit, you know. It's going to, you know, you're going to suffer a little bit, but hang with us. we'll work it out.
It'll all be fine.
Yeah, man. I mean, Dominic, they haven't told the people how long a process the bloodletting is going to be. But you and I know it's not going to be something in the snap of a finger. That's not how the economy works, right?
That's exactly right.
It's a major economy, man. You don't, because Donald Trump says, let's turn it around, that all of a sudden it turns around. That's not how it's going to be. And I would say to people, and I've said it before, with all of the gnashing of teeth that you heard from people about Joe Biden and inflation and Joe Biden and the price of food is too high and the price of rent is too damn high and Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden. Hey, man, I don't want to hear Donald Trump is now saying he left me a bad economy. What is he talking about, man?
Yeah. Yeah, the best economy in the modern world, given the circumstances coming out of the pandemic and so forth, anybody coming into office would want, even with the headwinds and the drag of the inflation that we had, Earl, this economy. I mean, we have record employment at the time. And, of course, that is also going down, like 70-some thousand jobs, half of what were expected for last month. I think one of the Feds, maybe the Atlanta Fed, is predicting, 2.7% GDP decline in the first quarter. And then on top of that, we got this guy bouncing from one foot to the other, throwing tariffs off and adding tariffs and rescinding them and, you know, having great deals and negotiations. In the meantime, the market's is super volatile, going up and down. We do have a little bit of sound from that guy. We're going to play a whole lot of it. But to your point, it's just going to be fine. It's just going to be a little while. It'll cause a little disruption. Yeah, great point. Or how long? You know what I'm saying? Put some dates and times and numbers to it. Because otherwise, it's just all in the air. Because you know what, Earl? The reason they don't do that? Because they don't know. They don't know. Let's hear Donald Trump on the tariffs, please. Just got one.
We have to do it. There'll always be a little short-term interruption. I don't think it's going to be big. But the countries and companies that have been ripping us aren't particularly happy with what I'm doing. But the United States will be very happy. And, you know, our farmers are going to be very happy. And again, there'll be disruption.
Again, there'll be disruption. Farmers are going to be happy. Earl, your thoughts?
Well, farmers are already clamoring and saying, hey, we get the things that we need in order to prepare to do what we do every year from China, from Mexico, all the fertilizer and all those different things. They're going to escalate in prices. The farmers are already struggling. The machinery, the cost of the machinery, they don't make that stuff in America. They buy it from China and other places, Dominic. I guess more than anything else, the thing that is perplexing to me is that there are still many people who he's going to bring this pain down on, mm-hmm. who still believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
They still believe in him, man. I just, for the life of me, what is it going to take, Dominic, before they finally realize, that he's not for them?
That the billionaire isn't looking out for the working class? What's it going to take? Well, apparently it's going to take a whole lot of pain. And the guy just told you. He told you to your face, Mega. Yeah, there's going to be some disruption. It'll be short term. Short term, is that 1 month? Is that 1 day? Is that 1 quarter? Is that 1 year? I mean, define your short term for me. I also heard him today talk about the long term. Oh, Earl, you and I both know, in the long term, we're all dead.
Yep.
855-752-4842-855-75. Come back with some of your calls. Earl Ingram joining me today. Join us as well.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box.
We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding, "The citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded." In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jeff Spies working the board with us today. Earl Ingram Jr. can check out his show, 8 to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Earl, thank you for doing so. Talking about the tariffs and the back and forth and what the impact may be. Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, very concerned. Concerned. Hell, I'm concerned. But, you know, actually, Ron Johnson could actually do something about it. All I can do is talk about it on the radio. But some of the headlines on regarding this from the Washington Post, I'm not sure I'm going to quote them too much anymore given their circumstances. But in the meantime, Trump grants one-month tariff reprieve to some goods from Canada and Mexico. Well, this is some bouncing around. The pause on the tariff applies only to imports that comply with the free trade agreement between the United States, Canada, and Mexico signed in late 2018. That was the one he renegotiated that he's reneging on right now. About 62% of goods from Canada and 50% from Mexico will still face tariffs implemented this week, White House official told reporters on Thursday. CNN reporting on this as well. The rocky week on Wall Street continued on Thursday as investors grappled with further uncertainty from President Donald Trump's tariffs. U.S. stocks opened sharply lower but fluctuated on the mixed messaging coming from the White House. Uncertainty, mixed messaging, you know, just what Wall Street loves. All three major indices closed lower despite Trump announcing a nearly one-month tariff delay. Earlier in the day, U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick told CNBC that the president would likely announce a one-month tariff delay on products. The bouncing back and forth, the uncertainty, the Dow closed lower by 428 points, almost one full percent. The broader S&P 500 fell 1.78%, and the NASDAQ composite slid 2.61%. NASDAQ closed almost in correction territory, down nearly 10% from its most recent peak on February 3rd. Now, we do have one cut from Donald Trump on the markets. Well, what does Trump have to say about the markets today, Jess? Would you play that one, please?
Nothing to do with the market. I'm not even looking at the market because long term, the United States will be very strong with what's happening here.
Long term, we're all dead, Earl, as I said. He said he's not even looking. Now, my understanding, this guy hasn't divested. You don't think that people around him are getting whiff of what's coming and what's going on and might trade on that kind of action? Because he hasn't divested from anything. I don't trust this guy in anything. When he says he's not watching the market, and you know this guy, Earl, he's a billionaire. He always watches the market.
You know, Dominic, I have a, a, a brilliant gentleman on with me on Fridays. His name is Sandy Williams.
Yeah.
Graduated cum laude from Harvard many years ago. He's an economist. He dealt with Enron. And so what Sandy said to me, and I've been with Sandy for about 4 years. Sandy, every time I would say a recession is coming, Sandy would say no. And Sandy, even in the face of when many other economists, nationally known economists, said the recession is coming, Sandy said it's not. And Sandy has been correct every time. Sandy told me yesterday, Dominic, recession is coming. Mm-hmm. Now, it hasn't been one since 2007. And so Sandy predicting that is, man, the pain and the damage with a man like Donald Trump who doesn't know blank from Shinola, you know, and the pain that people are going to feel. And Sandy used to always tell me about the tools that they could use, the Federal Reserve, to mitigate the pain of the recessions. He said those things are already, you know, gone by the wayside. And he's projecting a horrible, horrible recession, Dominic, at the same time that they're doing away with the safety nets, Dominic.
Right. Right.
Can you imagine?
And why are they doing away with the safety nets? What is the reason for that? Of course, because they have to somehow fund the tax cuts at $4.5 trillion that were not made permanent when they were passed. They're set to sunset, and they're going to sunset the end of this year. And they are doing everything they possibly can to try to somehow balance it out so they can get those tax cuts, $4.5 trillion. And there's no way, there's zero chance of that happening unless they cut Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, those kinds of things. That's where.
Or the military budget.
Or the military budget. Well, they're not doing that, man. 855-752-4842. Who's your Bob? You are up. Welcome to the show. We've got Earl and Jess with us. What do you got for us?
We're, all of us except Jess, are old enough to remember back in the 40s, 50s, it was a cartoon and Three Stooges staple. They would attach a dollar bill to a string, put it on the street,
yeah,
and then when some sucker came by to grab it, they'd snatch it away. Yeah. And he would follow them down the street trying to get that elusive dollar. Well, there's your Republican Party.
That's terrible, Bob. I mean, they're chasing the dollar. Thanks for the call, Earl. They're chasing the dollars. And, of course, a lot of the folks that have voted for MAGA, you know, when they get to be their billionaire, they don't want to have to pay those kinds of taxes. Of course, that's never happening. You're not going to be a billionaire no matter how hard you try. That ain't happening. So the fact that the MAGA voters are the ones supporting with all their heart, you know, these billionaires, I think they're going to be what? Taken care of when they're dismantling the very safety net that would take care of them, especially with a recession right on the horizon, potentially.
You know, man, as much as it hurts to know that people are going to be hurting terribly, the elderly, children, because of this. And part of me says the MAGA people deserve what they get, but they don't get it alone, Dominic.
Yeah.
We all get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
We all get it.
We all get it. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. That is Earl Ingram joining me today. You can check his fine program out right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. Going to come back with more of your calls, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The Dow currently down almost 3% on the week. The market is in the red during President Trump's presidency, in part because of the uncertainty that Trump's trade policies has caused. NASDAQ has fallen by more than 7% since Trump took office. The S&P 500 on more than 4%. Come back with us.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced a preliminary injunction against the Trump administration's efforts to cut billions in funding for the Department of Health and Human Services and the National Institutes of Health. The lawsuit was filed by attorneys general from 22 states in February, and Wednesday's ruling will provide a temporary reprieve from those funding cuts. The National Institutes of Health is the primary source of federal funding for medical research in the country, heavily supporting universities and research institutions. An Elon Musk-backed group is running potentially deceptive advertisements in the Wisconsin Supreme Court campaign. The group, called Progress 2028, has been running ads that appear to be messages of support for Judge Susan Crawford. The ads describe Judge Crawford as a progressive champion, but some say the true intent of the ads is to tie her to controversial issues like abortion and immigration to influence moderate voters. Musk-affiliated groups have spent millions in support of Crawford's conservative opponent, Judge Brad Schimmel. The American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation will be hosting their annual Fat Bike Birkie and Cable this weekend. The yearly event allows on-snow bike riders to race the Birkie course with 47K, 21K, and 10K options. To qualify for the races on Saturday, riders should have bikes with tires that are at least 3.5 inches. The first race will kick off at 9 a.m. and a post-race party will be held beginning at 11 a.m. Riders interested in participating in the event can find more information and register on the American Birkebeiner website. Shell Lake area first responders are advising residents that they will be conducting a large-scale critical incident training session at Shell Lake School tomorrow. According to law enforcement authorities, the training will be an all-day event with a number of area agencies, including Shell Lake First Responders, the Washburn and Barron County Sheriff's Departments, and the Department of Public Health and Human Services. Authorities say the training may look like a serious response at the school, but residents should not be alarmed. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The tabloids love to stir up trouble and are continuing to do so following last week's Oscars broadcast. After Kieran Culkin won Best Supporting Actor for his role in A Real Pain, cameras caught Edward Norton, who also was nominated for his role in A Complete Unknown, leaning over and saying the F word to his wife. It's not 100% clear what he said or if he was referring to the fact that he lost or if he's the most awkward romantic ever. Margaret Qualley's star is on the rise after a small but star-making role in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and playing opposite Demi Moore in this year's Oscar-nominated The Substance. The world is pretty much her oyster. After a really unnecessary James Bond music tribute at the Oscars last week, which happened just in time as Bond was killed off 2 years ago, fans are now saying they hope the daughter of Andy McDowell becomes a Bond girl. Quite a leap. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, lows 5 to 10 above. Clouds tomorrow morning, then turning mostly sunny for the afternoon and highs in the mid-30s. Even warmer temperatures for the weekend and into next week, highs climbing through the 40s, even some 50s.
Right now it's 33.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Brady Ewing will be here, former fullback for Wisconsin football, to talk mental health in athletes and also the relationship with on-air announcers like Bill Rafferty of CBS. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hell is empty, nothing is near. Pressure depleted and
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, just PS, working the board. Earl Ingram joining me today as a co-host. Earl, thank you for doing so. We're talking about the tariffs and the reaction, what the Republicans are saying here in the state of Wisconsin, how the markets are reacting to not just the tariffs this week, but since Trump's presidency. Newsflash, they're down. And above and beyond all of this, Earl, the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, he defended Trump's aggressive trade policies and appeared to double down on Trump's warning that the enforcement of new tariffs may cause disruptions. Uh-oh. You know, just a little short-term pain, Earl. Here is what the Treasury Secretary said. Now, mind you, according to the interwebs and his financial disclosures, this guy's worth only $500+ million. So, you know, he's not quite in the billionaire.
I mean, he's barely making it through the day, Dom.
You know what I'm saying? So this guy's going to talk to us about the American dream. Here's what he said. Access to cheap goods is not the essence of the American dream. The American dream is rooted in the concept that any citizen can achieve prosperity, upward mobility, and economic security. For too long, the designers of multilateral trade deals have lost sight of this. International economic relations do not work for the American people, must be re-examined. Yeah, Earl, you know, access to, you know, goods and services that don't take every dollar out of your pocket, and, you know, it's kind of hard to achieve prosperity, upward mobility, and economic security when you're paying $6 a dozen for eggs. For a dozen eggs, Earl, and this is why he got elected. Now they're telling us, you know, a little short-term pain, long-term gain.
You know, Dominic, I would say, in all honesty, as a guy who watched NAFTA come into bloom and take away middle-class jobs that many of the American people were able to realize the American dream because of industry, and like the job I had for 34 years and watch corporations take those jobs overseas, part of me says, okay, poetic justice, because when they moved those jobs overseas and took away middle-class opportunities for rural people who had paper mills and all of those things up north, Dominic, and so those towns wound up dying because of NAFTA. Part of me says poetic justice. But then reality comes into play and says none of this has to happen if the greedy people who are already billionaires and whatever tax cuts they get, Dominic, you're an accountant. If I have $1 billion and I'm going to get a tax break, you know, the amount of money I'm going to receive, I can't even recognize it. So why would you want to hurt the American people for you to get whatever percentage of a tax break you're going to? You're already a billionaire, man. What do you need a tax cut for?
Earl.
And the amount of money you're going to get is minuscule compared to what you have.
But the point is, Earl, and I think you're missing the point. Those billionaires, they would give it all away for just a little bit more.
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
I know, man. Hey, listen, man. You're a billionaire. You can't spend that in a lifetime. Right?
Yeah.
So why would you? We're talking about just $1 billion, Dominic. But we're talking about Bezos and what's the guys from Facebook?
Zuckerberg.
These guys have all went over to the dark side, man. All afraid of Donald Trump. And so Donald Trump is working to become a billionaire. People need to understand that's his goal. He wanted to become the president again so he could join the billionaires club, Dominic, for real.
Well, you know, a lot of his value is based on his brand, and his brand goes up and down based on how he's feeling any particular day. I'm feeling like $100 billion, Earl. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Always feeling rich with friends when Earl joins us, Jess P.S. on the board as well. Let's get to some of our callers. Scotty John from Madison. Scotty John, welcome. What are your thoughts today?
I look at it as giveaways. These guys, a lot of them, they aren't even paying taxes.
Right.
That's why they pay taxes. They're getting just plain giveaways, freebies by us plebeians, us serfs. So,
And Scotty John, let me ask you, why do you think that the megas who are you know, Most of the mega states, they're going to be hurt more by these reductions in the safety net, because more red states rely on that than blue states. More red states get money from Department of Education. They're going to be impacted more so than the blue states because of those situations. Why do you think they are down with putting the whole country and all these programs and our bureaucracy, our government, that working for the people, put that all aside? To what? To give a $4.5 trillion tax cut to who's going to get the most of that? The very, very wealthy. Why would mega, broke ass mega? I'm not talking about rich mega. I'm talking about broke ass mega, Scotty John. Why would they vote for that?
Trailer Park Mega hears nothing but right wing radio all day long and QAnon nonsense. That's what's going on.
Thank you, Scotty John. Appreciate it. Earl, it voting against their own best interest because of maybe they don't like abortion or they're a single issue or they got caught up in the whole trans thing. But at the end of the day, if this president, people say, well, don't you want Donald Trump to be successful? Well, it depends on how you define success, Earl. If dismantling Social Security and Medicare, if taking away the safety net, not to balance the budget. No. To give away, as Scotty John said, for giveaways to billionaires, to give them more. Give them more. We as a people, we, there's more of us than them. We should be demanding more from them, not giving them more from us.
You know, Dominic, I'll say this, and, you know, I have no choice but to say it because it's the truth. Many rural people who supported Donald Trump and voted for him in the belief that he was somehow going to, you know, be their savior. He was going to change their lives. He was going to do all these things. And now they kind of see that he hasn't even talked about addressing the things. You know, when Joe Biden was the president, couldn't beat, oh, the food prices are too high, the gas prices are too high, I can't. By the time the gas prices are up to $4 a gallon again, and not for a short period of time, and by the time the grocery prices, look, man, I went to the grocery store the other day, I got four items, $61. And let me tell you, man, you know, I'm not a guy who's scrimping. I mean, $61 is not going to break, you know, my back. But other people, man, it's a major problem. And Donald Trump has chosen not to even address it. And what makes me upset the most is 76% of people said they agree with what they're doing with Doge. And the other part of this, Dominic, is I read the other day where what is the guy's name, man, is running for the Supreme Court?
Oh, Brad Schimmel from the state of Wisconsin?
Brad Schimmel. He's leading. They haven't learned their lessons, Dominic. You can't ask me to forgive them for them voting for Donald Trump and being taken advantage of if you keep doing the same thing, Dominic. You know what I mean? Okay, I can forgive you, rural people who voted for Donald Trump, But I can't forgive you if you turn around and vote for Schimmel. He's going to give you another dose.
The same thing.
Yes.
The same, more of the same. You know, what's the definition of insanity, Earl, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results?
Yes.
I'm not sure they're looking for forgiveness, Earl. You know what I mean? They want to stick it to the libs. They want to take away all the safety net and do all these things. And ultimately, even if it apparently will harm them, voting against their own interests. Because why? Because they're as the caller said, they're getting a constant feed of right wing talk radio. I mean, how is it that you think supporting a billionaire and a whole billionaire class and the billionaires being our billionaire overlords is going to do you any good? The fact that they're billionaires shows that they're kind of hoarders, man. You know what I mean?
Is the safety net just for liberals?
Right. No, in fact, the red states use more of it than the blue states. But they don't talk about that. You know, in the whole VA, we'll get to that VA, and I know you talked about that as well. Cutting another 70,000 or 80,000 people. And with these cuts, I'm wondering, usually when you go through an exercise like this, you kind of figure out, okay, we're gonna give this up, we're gonna save some money, but there's gonna be some downside. What's the downside? Have you heard of any downside? Anything whatsoever. These cats are saying, oh, we're just going to cut 10% here, 15% there. Okay, you can do that, but there is going to be some reaction. It may not be as bad as you think. It might be worse than you think. But what you never hear is what the ultimate goal, what the ultimate point is going to be, other than, God, we got to try to backfill $4.5 trillion so we can give more tax breaks to the rich.
Dominic, you know, in the end, they say we have no choice. We've got a $36 trillion debt. They can cut everybody who works in government and it won't even touch the $36 trillion in debt. As you stated, Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, and the military are the only places that you can make some cuts to impact $36 trillion in debt. So for all of those, people who are celebrating these poor souls getting their jobs cut, Dominic, what do you get out of that, man? These are American citizens, by the way, Dominic. Why do you want to see them lose their jobs?
Veterans serving veterans,
yes.
Earl. I mean, and all these right wingers, and I know you talked about this, you know, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. They're all very patriotic until they decide, because some billionaire decides, well, to hell with the VA, we're going to cut X amount just because, and those cats are starting to get affected. I'm having conversations with the folks that aren't necessarily really inclined to the politics. You know what I'm saying? And they're saying, oh, my friend works at the GSA. They got this email. My friend, you know, they got the letter from the vet. All of a sudden, people around, man, you realize this is touching lots and lots and lots of people.
Yes.
This is touching lots of people. And to what end? To what purpose, Earl? We know the purpose. To pay billionaires more. Why? So, how is that logical?
So, Dominic, are you telling me then that the American people, the MAGAs, still don't get that? They still don't understand what you just said?
I think one of our texters said this as well. I'm let James from Madison, and I agree with this, and we'll let him say it, and then we'll get to your calls after the break, 855-752-4842. Here's what James said. My view on this is that people still believe that if they work hard enough and save enough, they can become a billionaire themselves, which is why they don't want tax cuts for rich people, which is one day, because they might be rich. That's why they want them. They want them because they might be rich. We all know that's not going to happen. We know it's not going to happen. Thank you, James from Madison. Yeah, everyone's got the dream, man. Great, let's do that. But let's also realize that this is a country of us, of we the people, and we get to make those decisions. And I put this as much on the megas as I do the folks that don't vote or disengage. 855-752-4842. Engage with us. Come back with us.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show. I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Earl Ingram joining me today, just PS working on the board. You folks are on the line. We're going to get to you shortly. But I did have to check out the markets today. The VIX. Now, the VIX is the volatility bet, CBOE, volatility index. The VIX, because of all the uncertainty and bouncing back and forth, today, in one day, up 13.41%. I wonder if anybody knew that that was going to happen today. And if they did know, would they take that action? You know they would, because they're greedy-ass billionaires. 855-752-4842. Earl, let's get to some of our callers in this segment. Cindy up from Appleton, you are up. Welcome. What do you got, Cindy?
Well, this is the question I want everybody that's a mega or a Republican to answer. Why do they think it's okay for these people in the government to cut our social safety nets and give those tax breaks and tax, you know, credits to the millionaires, billionaires? I want to know why they think that's okay.
That's it's a great question, Cindy. If you had to guess, what would it be?
I don't know. I can't for the life of me wrap my head around why we want to give more taxes back to people who don't even pay taxes in the first place. I'm frankly kind of tired of paying for all these millionaires and billionaires to have stuff that I will never have in 100 lifetimes.
Yeah, and they can't spend it in 100 lifetimes, Cindy. It's a great point. Earl, you know, the mentality, I know we've kind of touched on this, it's hard to grasp. You know, I think they are the single issue voters, you know, abortion being a big one of them, immigration being another one. But at the end of the day, you know, Donald Trump came out hard on the gate on immigration, but those have fallen since then. And, you know, so if you're going to get your social issues, you know, checked, box checked by the Republicans, by the MAGA, Are you going to give up your economic reality and your economic, your safety net and your health care just because they might nab a few more people trying to cross the border to experience the American dream, Earl? I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but that's the only logic that I can come up with.
You know, Dominic, I was thinking, and I wanted to bounce this question off of you. Could you ever have imagined all of the times you went to the Trump rallies? So you've seen MAGAs.
Yes, many, right? many rallies.
In full bloom, you've seen MAGAs.
Uh-huh. Oh, I saw them when they were just really young and yep. little. I've seen them grow up, and I've seen what they've turned into.
Yes. And so you would laugh, and you would think, man, you know, you could have never imagined that we would be where we are now, could you?
No.
I mean, really.
It was, you know, when I first started doing the rallies in the 2016 cycle, you saw a lot of folks showing up, and it was like a carnival for them. They get their hats, they have a good time, they laugh at the media, you know, and Trump would say his crazy ass things, and you know, he'd talk about the crooked media, and they all turn back and look at us, and everyone would be laughing. I'd be like, hey, what? You know, and then it got weirder, and it got weirder, and it got darker, and it got angrier over. And then what did it culminate to? To what? The guy, Donald Trump, losing an election, lying about it, and then rallying his troops to trash the Capitol, and then what? Go and then what? Pardon everybody. And now he's back in. Could I have imagined that? Hell no. I guess at one point I had a higher expectation for humanity, but thank you, MAGA, you've certainly lowered it.
Dominic, not only is he back in, they've taken over the government. Him being back in, I might be able to deal with that. But he's got control over the military, the Supreme Court, Congress, the Senate, MAGA. Well, not MAGA, but Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have never imagined that. Dominic.
What, Pete Hegseth from Foxy News in charge of the Pentagon? Cash Money Patel in charge of the FBI? Pam Bondi is the AG? His personal attorneys is deputy AGs? I mean, what? No, man, absolutely not. I used to think, wow, there's, you know, it must be some professionals in here, man. There's some, there's some adults in the room. No, there's not. And they're all doing the bidding of a crazy, addled old man who cannot make a decision one way or another. Yes, there's tariffs. No, there's tariffs. Yes, there's tariffs. No, there's tariffs. You know, can't answer a question. Oh, it's going to be great. We've done really big things, and it might be some short-term game, but long-term, you know, it's going to be fantastic. No one's done anything like this. No one's ever seen it. You know, and he talks on these platitudes. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't say anything. But what do we know? Well, the VIX was up huge today. The markets are super volatile. Our allies are mad at us, and I cannot determine for the hell of me if Donald Trump was in fact doing the bidding of the Kremlin, what he'd be doing different.
Hey, Dominic. Well, they said I'm probably as good as George Washington.
He was better than George Washington.
Hey, man, come on, man.
Uh-huh,
come on.
Uh-huh. And the
sycophants. This man stands before the world. He hasn't done anything. And he says they tell him he's better than George Washington, man. Come on, man.
And the mega, oh, yeah, he's so good. Yeah. Yes, yes. Golf clap for the better than George Washington. The felon. The cheat. The scam artist, the carnival barker, the rapist. Yeah, he's better than George Washington. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. We have lots of callers want to jump in. Be patient. We promise we will get to you after the top of the hour break. You're listening to the Dom Salve Show. Got Earl Ingram joining me all day today up until the 6 o'clock hour. And don't forget, we wrap up the show with something good. Tell us something good, a little cherry on top. Join us on the other side.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, as usual, we will wrap up the week's big stories from a Courier newsroom perspective and a panel that includes veteran journalists and a former U.S. attorney.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Some goods coming from Mexico, now part of the 30-day reprieve on tariffs. President Trump pausing the hikes after talks with Mexico's leader today. The president carved out the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement during his first term in office, but today says he believes the U.S. is still getting ripped off on trade and thinks any price hikes won't last long.
There'll always be a little short-term interruption. I don't think it's going to be big, but the countries and companies that have been ripping us aren't particularly happy with what I'm doing.
The White House special envoy to the Middle East, now having direct talks with Hamas leaders, says President Trump has issued a last warning for Hamas to free all hostages in Gaza. Hamas rejecting that demand until it says phase two of a ceasefire deal with Israel goes into effect. Pope Francis sending a message from the hospital today, thanking supporters as he battles double pneumonia. The Pope has been hospitalized for 3 weeks. This is ABC News.